Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's October the 24th, 2006. The final hours of the Fall Fund Drive are drawing to a close. Have you called in with your financial support for the Ag Program in here yet? You can do it right now at 217-244-9455. We'd like you to do that, especially if you've never called in to become a friend of WILL before. My name's Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. In just a few moments, we'll talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. And then just after the bottom of the hour, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, we'll check in with the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska to see just how corn and soybean harvest is proceeding across the Midwest. It all happens on this Tuesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
On this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in Chicago. December wheat at 522.5, up 5.5 cents. The March futures, 538. They were up 6.5 of the day. A new contract high in the December corn, 326.75 high price. Settlement price at 324.25. March corn, a new contract high as well, 337.75 there. The settlement at 335.75. They were up 5.5 cents today. May futures in the corn pit at $3.42, up 5.25. In July at 347.5, were up a nickel for the day. December of next year in the corn pit at 338.75, up 4 cents for the day. From the soy complex, November beans at 623.5, up 6. January futures at 637, a settlement price 6.5 cents higher. March futures at 644.25, up 6.5 for the day. And the November beans of next year at 669.25, up 3.25 for the afternoon. December bean meal futures up $2.70 at 185.60. December bean oil futures at 26.64, and they finished 8 higher for the day. Live cattle futures at the Mercantile Exchange down 12.5 cents at $89.22.5 a hundredweight. December futures at $88.35 there, down 35 cents. And December lean hogs down 17.5 today at $59.85 even. Taking a quick look at the outside markets, if they happen to come up, nope, still not there. And we'll have to check and see why that's not the case a little bit later in the week. But at the moment, we'll take a look at what's been happening with the markets when we talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
How are you today?
Well, it's been a hectic day here in Newmarket, I'll tell you. A lot of surprises as far as this market goes with the good harvest weather going on. We generally don't expect to make contract highs.
Yeah, contract highs, good harvest weather. Things seem to be really going in favor of the corn farmer at this point, don't you think?
Well, I would say that's a big yes, Todd. You know, when you go ahead and, you know, the harvest wasn't as far along as usual, not quite as far as expected on the low end of things, which means there's a lot of corn in the field. You look at the ratings improved 2% on the corn, which generally you would think means that the government feels that the yields have been just a little better than what they were predicting if they do that. And yet on the news wires, we hear talk that there's some thought that the government will reduce their number once again on the November report is why the rally is going on. So a little bit of conflict there as to increasing the crop ratings with the idea that we're going to come with lower numbers next month.
And was it corn that took the lead throughout the day today in Chicago?
Well, wheat popped first there, and then the corn followed pretty much. But corn does seem to be the strongest one up there right now. And I'll tell you, the wheat staying extremely strong on bull spreading in that pit also. So, you know, and when you look at, they say that the Goldman roll started today. That, of course, Goldman Sachs being the index fund that's been around for years, they're long the front month, and so they would be selling that front month and buying a deferred month that they're rolling into, and yet we see as we look at the board, these corn up more than any other month, even with the Golden Roll starting today.
You know, as you take a look at these first two trading days of the week, it now sets up for either an outside down or an outside up week on the weekly charts. What do you think is going to happen here as we finish out through Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of the week?
Well, it just seems like we cannot find a volume of sellers. They seem to be scared to step in the way of the fund managers. You know, we saw in the wheat where some of the guy, the fund, the locals did. A lot of those guys don't participate anymore, and we seem to be a much more cautious attitude, and the fear of the funds is quite great out there right now. We are seeing very, very tight farmer holding. You know, we saw basis levels at the Gulf, and both corn and beans go up 3 cents yesterday. The local elevators in our area, middle of last week, they were 40 under for beans, and now they're 25 under for beans here this morning. So along with the board going up, they've narrowed in their basis besides.
Yeah, and it says that the market is a little bit scared that there'll be an awful lot of corn and wheat acres that are put in the ground because of the price of those two commodities at this point in time, and they're trying to stabilize the bean acres, I take it?
Yeah, and I think that I would think that we are also buying some of those acres that were going to be abandoned in South America, Brazil especially, or with these higher prices. I would think they should be able to hedge some beans, and we've heard of some Brazilian hedging over the last couple days that would allow us to switch some of our acres over and not really hurt the world and the oil supplies as such. So I think that we're buying some bean acres right now in South America that we might not have to look for to replace with our acres here. So I think that's probably a good thing in that respect. It'll give us a little more leeway world-wise to have some corn acres.
You know, let's go to the cash side of this. I know that some farmers, a lot of farmers, probably will take advantage of cash corn prices over $3, but they'll be more reluctant to sell their beans. Should they be doing that?
Oh, that's a big question because, you know, we still have a time period now coming into the spring where we're still going to want to keep the bean price not way out of line as so we don't switch too many acres away from there because, you know, looking down the road, the protein needs and the oil needs for the biodiesel and that are still going to be there and increasing throughout the world. But, you know, like I say, along the way, I think that fortunately, there's an opportunity in both. As far as if you have storage, I think that if you are looking and you have your on-farm storage, you probably still want to stick it away. If you don't have on-farm storage, depending on what it costs the elevator, why, these are some awfully, awfully attractive prices to make up for the cash flow that you would have generally been getting in LDPs right now.
Anything that they ought to be doing at this point with the sales that they made at lower levels?
It's awfully hard to say repurchase at contract highs. We have not repurchased enough. You know, there's a lot of eggs that didn't make it to the table because they got all over my face here by not buying enough or replacing early enough. And I will have to say that probably was not aggressive enough there. I guess if we're looking at things, we have to, with the volatility here, Todd, you have to sell some other premium along with it or look for down the road if you think it's going to go higher. If you do buy a call now, we have to look at an increase down the road at selling a call or put underneath, you know, to help pay for it, take some of the volatility out of the sting of it.
And then what'd you make of the trade over at the Mercantile Exchange for the day?
Well, a little bit after our bounce up yesterday and the way we talked about the increase in cutouts in beef overnight and moving steady and saying that the show lists were pretty well used up. We sort of thought that cattle would be a little higher than they were today. We expected the hogs, they had a rough day in the cutout going down. We expected them to be under a little pressure, but we did expect a little bit of action in the cattle pit.
And we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Taking a look now at Ed Kieser's forecast for tonight across the two-state region. He says mostly clear and cold. Lows will range from 26 in portions from central and southern Indiana to 34 in far southwestern Illinois and near Lake Michigan. Tomorrow, Ed says, in west central and southern Illinois, becoming cloudy. Rain arriving during the afternoon. Elsewhere, mostly sunny during the morning and increasing clouds during the afternoon. Highs will range from around 50 in the the north to 56 in the far south. Tomorrow, wind speed 7 to 14 miles an hour. The minimum afternoon relative humidities ranging between 40% in eastern Indiana to 60% in southern Illinois. Periods of rain expected across most of Illinois and Indiana Wednesday night through Friday. Mostly dry weather expected over the weekend. And that should continue right on into the middle of next week, allowing for some better harvest conditions. Unseasonably cool weather expected to continue through the weekend as well. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural forecast. That'll come up at the bottom of the hour when we talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. We need to talk just a bit now about a phone call that we'd like you to make to 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support to this radio station and the ag and weather programming that it brings you each and every business day of the year and every Saturday with Commodity Week. It's important, we think, to the agricultural industry across the two-state region. It is the number one industry in this area, and the WILL radio stations have managed to serve it very well for a very long time. In fact, since its very inception back in 1922, when the very first broadcast was a University of Illinois Extension dairy specialist talking about, what was the name of that? I think Cream of Gold?
I don't remember the name of it, but I knew it was dairy.
It was dairy. And
that was, March of 1922, I think.
Yeah.
End of March, early April, sometime around there.
Ed Kieser joining us here in the studio. Ed, thanks for coming in. Tell me about the weather forecasting that you do.
Well, we do a variety of weather forecasting. Of course, we make specific forecasts for the community that we're in, the Champaign-Urbana area. But, of course, a lot of you live outside of Champaign-Urbana, so we cover all of Illinois and Indiana with our in-depth weather reports as well. But we don't even stop just there because we know that those of you that produce corn and soybeans and wheat and livestock have competitors in other parts of the country and around the world. So we also focus on global weather for the areas that matter to the global production and the what affects the prices, your prices. So we look at the weather in Brazil and Argentina and China and Australia and the Great Plains Hard Red Winter Wheat Belt, the Spring Wheat Belt, the Canadian Prairies, all over the place so that you know what's going on not only here but in those areas that you compete with. And that way you can make better decisions.
We like to think that there are many things here at the ag programming side of the radio station that really set it apart from anything else that you can find on the air for radio or television. And our coverage of the weather, the coverage that Ed Kieser does and the other meteorologists that we talk to during the closing mark report each and every day is one of those things. I guarantee there is no other place on the airwaves that does as much coverage of agricultural weather as WILL Radio does. The number to call if you agree with us and to pledge your financial support to the radio station, and this is really important too. If you've never called before, you're not a member, give us a call now. This is simple, it's quick, it's easy to do. Pick up the phone, dial 217-244-9455, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Those are all acceptable ways to pledge your financial support to this radio station. You can also go online at WILLpledge.org, or if you happen to be listening to the podcast or one of the MP3 files off of our website at WILLAG.org, off the website, just look to the top of the page and hit pledge. It's all at willpledge.org. What you need to do, though, really is to make that phone call, and please make it right now. We're in the final hours, Ed, of this particular fund drive, and we will be done really quickly, and we need to make sure that the management here understands how important the agricultural audience finds this particular set of programming.
I think it's very important to send management of the station that message. If you value this service, they'll look and see how well supported the service is, because frankly, this service isn't anywhere else. This is a unique service here on WILL. I don't know of any station anywhere now that provides the agricultural service that we do.
It absolutely is a service. Dave Dickey works really hard in the morning. Ed Kieser works hard in the morning. Yeah, and then I come in the afternoon, pick up the closing market report and Commodity Week on Saturdays. Radio does a lot of ag programming. There's TV on Sunday from WILL. If you're within the 80-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana, you can pick that up. And we do a television programming there out of U of I Extension just before market to market on Sunday mornings. That gives ag programming 7 days a week exposure on this WILL set of radio stations, and it has made a commitment to the agricultural audience, and we hope that you will make that same kind of commitment to it. The number to call, Ed, is
217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455, and the 9455 spells out, of course, WILL.
Big Will.
Big Will, if you do the 244-9455. So 217 Big Will. And we're talking about our service is unique. The other thing I think is in this competitive world, other stations are cutting back. So this is really the only place you can get it. So support it.
Thanks much, Ed. Ed Kieser, Chief Meteorologist here at AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. Well, up next, USDA released its weekly crop progress report yesterday. Not a lot of progress, it appears, from one week to the other for the corn in particular. Last week, I think about 41%. This week, 53% complete for harvest on average over the 5 years, 57%. And last year at this time, corn harvest was 63% along. Soybeans, on the other hand, right on schedule, really, with harvest for the last 5 years, 78% over the 5-year average, 76% this year, and 69% last year.
This is Brad Schwab with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending October 22nd. Heavy rains and cool temperatures were reported across Illinois this past week. Statewide, temperatures averaged 4 degrees below normal, and rainfall averages came in 1.2 inches above normal for the week. These conditions have made for soggy fields, delaying crop harvest in most areas. Corn and soybean harvest are slightly trailing the 5-year averages, while winter wheat seeding is ahead. Crop conditions and topsoil moisture remain favorable as producers across the state continued with fall field activities, weather permitting. Taking a look at the crop progress numbers from last week, corn harvest made some progress and advanced by 10 percentage points to 73%, trailing last year's 87% and the 5-year average of 76%. Leading the state in corn harvest was the Southwest Crop Reporting District at 94%. Soybean harvest advanced to 82% complete, compared to 92% 1 year ago and 83% for the 5-year average. The West Crop Reporting District led the state in soybean harvest at 92%. In other crops around the state, sorghum harvest continued at 63% complete, trailing last year's 78% and the 5-year average of 71%. Winter wheat seeding continued at 81% complete, which compares to 89% 1 year ago and 74% normally. 41% of the wheat crop has emerged. Pastures across most of the state are showing signs of improvement with an overall rating of fair to mostly good condition. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Agricultural Statistics for Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending October 22nd. Heavy rains and winds slowed or halted harvest activity and field work in many areas of the state. In a few areas, some harvest activity advanced for fields that were dry enough to support equipment. Lodging was reported in many corn fields resulting from the saturated fields and high winds. Reports of soybean rust in southwest Indiana came at the end of the season, thankfully limiting the impact. Winter wheat emergence has been slowed by the cool, wet weather. Topsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 1% short, 58% adequate, and 41% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 2% short, 75% adequate, and 23% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 1.06 to 3.41 inches. Temperatures average from a high of 75 degrees to a low of 26. For the week ending Friday, 2.7 days were rated as suitable for field work. Corn condition for Indiana is rated at 72% good to excellent, compared with 56% last year at this time. 37% of Indiana's corn acreage has been harvested, compared with 60% for last year and 53% for the 5-year average. By area of the state, 32% of the corn is harvested in the north and central regions, and 57% of the corn was harvested in southern Indiana. Moisture content of the corn harvested is averaging about 20%. 58% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared with 85% for last year and 77% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 54% of the soybean acreage was harvested in the north, 67% in central Indiana, and 48% for the south. Moisture content of the soybean harvested fell from 20% last week to an average of about 13%. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS field office.
This is Eric Wilson, statistician from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa field office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 22, 2006. Corn did not dry down much this week with periodic rain and snow. Producers report they are waiting for the remaining corn to dry naturally before harvesting. Soybean harvest is nearing completion. Tillage, fertilizer, and manure applications were common activities during the week. There were 3.6 days suitable for field work last week. Topsoil moisture rated 2% very short, 15% short, 76% adequate, and 7% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 6% very short, 25% short, 66% adequate, and 3% surplus statewide. Corn harvest reached 48%, 9 percentage points behind last year, but just 1 percentage point behind normal. Soybean harvest was 91% complete, 5 days behind last year, but equal to the 5-year average. Corn condition was reported 73% good to excellent, while pasture and range condition was reported 49% good to excellent, small declines from last week. Again, this is Eric Wilson with the weekly crop and weather report from the National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa field office.
This is Doug Hartwig, director of USDA NAS Minnesota field office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending October 22, 2006. Despite cool temperatures and scattered precipitation, the corn harvest surpassed the halfway mark ahead of the 5-year average. Nearly one-fourth of the corn crop was harvested during this past week, and the average moisture content dropped to 18%. The sunflower harvest was approaching 50%, while the sugar beet and potato harvests were nearing completion. The average temperature for the week was 39 degrees, 5.9 degrees below normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies were rated 2% very short, 15% short, 81% adequate, and 2% surplus. 52% of the corn was harvested, 7 percentage points ahead of the 5-year average. Corn crop was rated with 69% in good or excellent condition. The potato harvest was 97% complete, the sugar beet harvest was 92% complete, and the sunflower harvest was 46% complete. The sunflower crop was rated with 71% in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending October 22, 2006. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL AM 580. Hey, have you dialed this number yet? 217-244-9455. I know a whole lot of folks have. Thanks much if you've done that in this half hour. If you've never given before, please do so. And we want to make sure that you get that opportunity at 217-244-9455. And we want to make a special thank you out to the Prairie Ridge Farms Incorporated. Those folks called in, Gary Luth there at Prairie Ridge called in, and we do appreciate your contribution to this radio station. If you have questions or comments about what we do, you can just call us anytime you want. That's a different phone number. Call us now, though, and pledge your financial support at 217-244-9455. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day about today, about the agricultural weather with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Up next, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Speaker Dennis Hastert of Illinois is answering questions from House Ethics Panel members trying to determine who knew what about Mark Foley's communications with teenage pages. Hastert's appearance follows that of Congressman Tom Reynolds, who has said he warned Hastert about Foley. Hastert says he doesn't recall that conversation. Illinois Congressman John Shimkus, who heads the House board overseeing the Page program, says he's confident the Foley scandal will not cost him re-election next month. The Collinsville Republican told reporters today in Highland that he's testified truthfully to the House Ethics Committee about his handling of Foley's come-ons to male pages. Citizens Utility Board Director David Colonna says he thinks there are enough votes in the Illinois General Assembly to pass an extension on the freeze on electric rates. That would head off a 40% to 55% rate hike from Ameren next year. Colonna says if the freeze is not extended, Cub would fight the higher rates in court. Former Illinois Governor Jim Edgar will lead Judy Bartopinka's transition team if the Republican is elected governor November 7th. Topinka says she picked the popular former governor because he can hit the ground running. Edgar says he does not want a job in a Topinka administration. Governor Rob Blagojevich says Springfield has benefited from the new Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and should do even more to attract tourists before Lincoln's 200th birthday in 2009. The governor today said he envisions turning parts of the state capital city into a living history museum similar to the one in Virginia's colonial Williamsburg. The biggest convention ever to descend on Indiana's capital kicks off tomorrow. FFA officials expect some 55,000 young people to attend the four-day convention in Indianapolis. The event is expected to infuse about $30 million into the local economy. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Our thanks to those folks who are calling in right now and those of you who have called in this past hour and over the past 5 days to pledge your financial support to this radio station. It's quick, it's simple, it's easy. $80, $100, $250, $500, $40, whatever you're able to give. Please pledge your financial support to the radio station at 217-244-9455. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, on the phone with us now to talk a little bit about the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about, you know what, you pick the region of the world you think's the most interesting at this point, and tell me what's happening, and we'll get to the Midwest eventually, unless that's the place where all the action is.
Well, there is going to be action here in the Midwest, but if we go south of the equator into the southern hemisphere, of course, they're getting into their spring season, and it does look like rains are going to be picking up in many areas. Brazil and Argentina looking at some pretty good chances for some moisture over the course of the next week to 10 days, and even some portions of Australia, especially some of the central and eastern and far southwestern areas of that country, missing some of the growing areas, but they're going to get some moisture as well. And portions of South Africa looking at some good chances for showers. So many of those southern hemisphere areas looking at some favorable spring conditions.
Before we get here to the Midwest, tell me about China and how the crop had matured and what harvest season was like.
Well, not bad. They were a little bit wet and a little bit unsettled in some areas, but in the last couple of weeks of harvest, the weather's turned around in terms of drier and warmer weather conditions to help out the harvest there.
And then your attention here on the Midwest, what's going to happen over the next few days?
Well, cool and about ready to get wet. We have a rather vigorous system that's going to come out of the Rockies and push some rain and cooler weather into the Midwest, all of the Corn Belt, late Wednesday into Thursday and likely into Thursday night and Friday, looking at good chances for shower activity, rain amounts. Some areas are going to go over an inch in a few lake locations, and it's going to be a cold rain. Temperatures only in the 40s for highs, upper 30s for lows, probably staying mostly rain, but it's going to be getting cold and wet from Wednesday night through Friday.
Ooh, wow, that sounds ugly. How widespread?
Very widespread. In fact, this is a rain that's going to cover a good chunk of real estate. It's going to go from Texas and Oklahoma through Arkansas, Missouri, into the Corn Belt Midwest. Some of the western Corn Belt areas, portions of Nebraska and Iowa won't see as much, but certainly Illinois, Indiana, and most of the Midwest and east of the Ohio River should get into the moisture.
Don, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joining us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Now, this is the last chance we'll get to ask you in person at least to deliver a little financial aid to this radio station. Please do that at 217-244-9455. It's ever so important, especially if you're one of those folks who's never given before. You know, just one in 10 listeners provides financial support to the radio station. We'd like to think that our ag audience does a little better than that because we do an awfully good job in our opinion, and many others, of servicing the agricultural community across the two-state region. If you agree with us and you've never given before, now might be the time to do that at 217-244-9455. On behalf of Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the radio station, I'm Todd Gleason. We thank you very much for all the support over the last 5 days. The ag audience has done a magnificent job, have come through financially for us, and we're hoping that that will continue. If you're listening to this on the podcast or an MP3, then please dial this number or just hit the web willpledge.org website and pledge your financial support there. The number to call, 217-BIG-WILL. You have a great afternoon, and be safe out there as you finish up the harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's 2:37 Central Time. You're